We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's your poll.
Okay. I'll keep my poll to myself then.
Checking up on the Braves, Falcons, Hawks, and Atlanta United.
Listen up.
Let's go around the 404 with Rick and John.
Let's do it, and let's do it now. Rick Hamlin, John Michael, throwing our midday party here in the Kia Studios in the home of the Falcons, the home of the Hawks, the home of United, and the home of Georgia State. Countdown to that game against Kennesaw State, Thursday, August 30th. Go to at 92.9 The Game. Go to at Rick and John 92.9. They go to my personal Twitter account. Got a poll up right now. Mm-hmm. Who is more likely to win their division this year, Falcons or the Braves? Let's debate. What says you, John?
Boy, this is such a loaded question. Both? Is that one of the options on there?
It's an either or.
I'm taking the Falcons.
Aha.
And I'm not knocking the Braves. It's actually easier to go with the Braves because they're in the lead and there's only, what, one quarter of their season left to play. I just think the Falcons are winning the division. I really think both of them are going to ultimately end up winning the divisions and representing Atlanta here in the playoffs. But if I have to, I'm going to go with the Falcons.
Okay. So here's the deal. The masses do not agree with you. On my personal Twitter account, 91 votes in 38 minutes and growing. The votes keep coming in here. Braves at 66% and the Falcons at 34%. Now, there's probably a little bit of recency bias built into this in terms of the Braves, like you said, are coming off a doubleheader win, 15-2, and lead the National League East by a game, and the Falcons are coming off 17-0 at the Jets. So there's probably a little bit of an overreaction to recent events in this, with the Braves being 66% and the Falcons being 34%. I say Falcons as well for a couple of reasons, and we're going to break this down. I think the Saints are overrated this year. I think they're going to be good, not great. I think they were ahead of schedule last year. They took people by surprise, and I think that the expectations have swelled. And a lot of times when that happens and the swelling of the expectations is a little out of sequence, that's when a team doesn't meet up with those expectations. I see that happening too. They're like 9-7, okay. Right? I think a lot of people think 12-4. They're going to be one of the best teams. I think they're going to be good, not great. Like 9-7, I think they're going to be on the playoff cusp and not make it. Carolina, to me, they have taken two major hits on their offensive line, losing Andrew Norwell and losing their right tackle Williams. And I just think that their arrow to me is sort of: is it going up? Is it going down? I could see 8-8. I could see 10-6. I could see 6-10. I think we're better than those guys, but. I want you. Do you still have the Braves schedule up?
I do. So, just give me a second to pull it back up. There it is.
So this is why I say Falcons. Yes, we have late games against the Phillies, which is huge. Can't wait. Those are going to be regular season playoff games. If we win them, we're going to make the playoffs. If we lose them, we're not going to make the playoffs. So it comes down to that. But all the stuff I said, but this is a big reason why I'm going Falcons, more likely to win their division than the Braves. Give us the schedule down the stretch.
All right, it's starting in September. You've got three against Pittsburgh, then it's three against Boston, four at Arizona, three at San Francisco, three at home against the Nationals, three against St. Louis, three against Philly, three at the Mets, and then you close the season, three at the Phillies.
There are six games in there. Mm-hmm. You probably rattle off about 27 or 28 games, whatever it is, in a month. There are only six games. Let's say it's 27 games, John. I'm just picking a number. 21 of the 27 games are brutal. Mm-hmm. Six of the 27, or whatever that number is, are soft. The Mets are going to be just playing out the string with a bunch of guys on September call-ups. The Nationals, I believe, they were in it around the trade deadline. They're not in it anymore. They're seven games out. Their bullpen is a mess. They've lost Madsen. They've lost Herrera. They lost Doolittle. Cota Glover. Just off the DL, tried to close last night, got bombed. They have no bullpen. Strasburg is still on the DL. They're dead. And I think when we get them in September, they're going to be easy pickings. But that's six easy games in the month of September with a bunch of really difficult games. So I'm going to cheer for my guys. I hope we can go through that gauntlet and get the job done. But I think that gauntlet has me thinking the Falcons have a better chance of winning their division.
And while we're at it, we have our own Visit Computers Twitter poll at Rick and John at 929 Visit Computers, where if you need help with tech support, it's less than 15 seconds away. M.O., what you got cooked up over there? It was Braves pitching related.
So not all season, not moving fingers crossed into the postseason, but today, who do you trust the most? Today, Julio Teheran, Dookie Toussaint, Kevin Gausman, or Sean Newcomb?
Oh, you throw Nookie into the mix.
They're going to say Newcomb.
Newcomb.
And they did 62%.
Now, are they saying that they trust Tukey more than Julio?
Yes.
Are they saying they trust Tukey more than Gausman?
No. Aha. In order, Newcomb, Gausman, Tukey, and Julio.
Okay.
I mean, the Braves fan base is over Julio Teheran.
Julio Teheran.
They are over him.
Julio Teheran right now, to use a wrestling analogy, is like Roman Reigns in the WWE. Braves fans are tired of Julio Teheran being shoved down their throat. That's it. They don't want it anymore. Wrestling fans are over Roman Reigns.
Help me out. Like, why? Okay. You always talk about how Urania, like, that's her hall pass,
yeah,
you know.
Well, that's one of them. Well, he's related to The Rock. He's related to The Rock in some form or fashion.
He's related?
I think it's like they're like cousins or something like that.
Okay. So, I mean, they look like they could be related.
He's got a similar look and build to The Rock. So that's her hall pass. But what it is he became a rising star, what, Mark? 4 or 5 years ago? And WWE shoved him to the top. He's going to be our guy. And fans just never really have liked him for whatever reason. And for the last 3 years, seemingly every major pay-per-view, he's been the main eventer. And fans are just over. They boo him relentlessly.
Interesting.
Okay, so it's like he came up with the Shield back in 2012.
Yep.
So it's like Julio came in with a powerful three-pack from the minor leagues.
Who was it? Like him, Mike Minor.
Yeah, it'd be like
Medlin. Was Medlin the other guy?
Like Aaron Blair, maybe. So
not Aaron Blair.
So they all came in together, and then they split apart.
Mm-hmm.
And Julio is the one that keeps getting the big push.
Yep.
They keep putting Julio there before everybody else.
He's your number one starter on opening day. He's the guy that's supposed to be the ace. And I think fans are over it.
And I mean, think about that. He started opening day, right?
He did.
Oh, my God.
And he probably will not get a start in the playoffs.
He is the fifth starter on this team. I don't think there's any question about that, the way Gausman just pitched with eight innings and doing what he did. And he's the hot shot you pick up in a trade, prospect from the Orioles. I think there's some unknown with him that's sexy to people. I think the unknown of upside is sexy. I like it. That's the way I choose in fantasy sports. And so people
You're
are
all
like,
about sexiness, aren't you?
I am, especially in fantasy sports. But I think people are like, yo, I'm done with Julio. We got this new guy, Gausman. We got this other new guy who has filthy, nasty stuff in Tukey. Bye, Julio. I really think Braves fans are totally over him.
Mark, I think we could put up, and by the way, Preacher Man did confirm The Rock and Roman Reigns are cousins. So,
they're cousins.
Yes. I think we should put up a second ancillary Vision Computers Twitter poll on this one. Is Roman Reigns the biggest star to ever come out of Georgia Tech? Yes or no?
You want to put who else? Calvin Johnson.
Uh-huh.
You got Chris like Bosch. Stephon Marbury.
Dennis Scott.
My guy, DZ.
Mark Price.
Bunch of studs.
So maybe we do that. Who's the biggest
Georgia
star
Tech.
To come out of Georgia Tech?
Jonathan Dwyer.
Next question.
Can't forget Jonathan
Demaryius
Dwyer.
Thomas.
Good one. Good one. See, Tech fans, we're talking about you. It's around the 404.
Sort of.
Matt Kuchar.
We're talking about
you. Matt Kuchar. We got to narrow that down to four and say who's the biggest star. Mark, I'll give you the liberty to come up with that.
Was Isner a dog?
Yeah, he's a dog.
Bubba Watson's a dog too, right?
He is. So was Herschel Walker.
Bobby Jones?
Yeah, there you go.
Right. Bobby Jones, the
golfer?
The basketball player or the golfer?
Golfer.
From like 100 years ago? He went to Georgia Tech? Really? Interesting. Didn't he build courses and stuff?
Yeah,
and don't you kind of have to be an engineer to build golf courses?
There's a lot of courses around here.
He built the Masters, right? Thanks, Preacher Man. He just built the Masters. He just built Augusta National.
No big deal. He's all about Ray's Creek. All about Ray's Creek.
In Amen Corner. Yeah. Now, did he dub it Amen Corner, or was that a bunch of media guys like us and Randy McMichael calling it Amen Corner?
I think it was Jim Nantz. Maybe Fern Lundquist. By the way, how did you like Fern's coverage at the PGA Championship?
I liked it. I liked it because less is more, right?
Yeah.
You talk like this, he's got 13 feet for birdie.
And then you lay out for like 30 seconds, and then...
What a shot.
My favorite
He's
part.
Three under.
Yeah. Like, it's like football's too fast for Vern Lundquist. Golf is the perfect speed for Vern Lundquist.
I love when they do the... And Paul will get a good laugh out of this. They always go to... Okay, Dottie, how's this putt going to break? Well, from where I'm standing, it may go a little right, and then
Dottie.
It's going to flatten out, and then it may That's go a little left.
No, or, what's it going to
Dottie, how's the lie?
Yeah.
Right? Remember when Tiger went off to the right?
How's the lie? Well, it's very deep in there.
It's really chunky over here. What's the grass they were using?
Bermuda,
right? Yeah, it's always the Bermuda.
Zoysia, yeah.
It's very thick here in the Zoysia. He's going to have to assuage the golf club through there.
He's going to have to hope that the grass does not grab his club on the follow through.
The one time when Tiger almost put it in the water but was in the hazard, you know, he was asking Dottie where it was. She goes, well, I got to get down there really quick. But then they finally got a shot of it. She goes, take your time. We got it covered.
Nice. And she's running down and sweating and stuff. All right, man. Where the hell were we?
I have no idea, but where I don't know how we got into that. I just know there was one time they threw to Vern Lundquist, and I think he was drinking something. He was like, oh, yeah, here at 13, it's a little chunky.
And I could tell, does not care.
Not one bit.
Homie checked out on the SEC on CBS like 4 years ago. Trust me, he ain't tripping on anything, man. He's just collected checks, and I'm not mad at him, man. I wouldn't retire either.
We got a couple other ones in here. How about Jason Veritek, Nomar Garciaparra?
I forgot Nomar.
Yeah, both Georgia Tech guys.
Actually, you can't say the R when you say Nomar. You just said Nomar.
And it's Garciaparra.
Yeah, Garciaparra.
No, Parra. Jimmy Carter.
I can't roll my R.
Did Jimmy Carter go to Georgia Tech? Really? And Matt,
Jimmy Carter went to Georgia Tech?
I don't know. That's what somebody texted in.
let's do a better job of sourcing that. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Hey, what did we tell you about anonymous sources, Rick
Campbell?
Come on, Will Muschamp. All right, let's get back to the conversation. Falcons or Braves? You guys can sound off 404-741-0929. Who do you think has a better chance to win the division? I'm going with Falcons because what have you learned about me in the past, Rick?
Jimmy Carter went to Georgia
he
Tech.
He did. Okay. I'm a see-it-to-believe-it guy. Braves have shown me all year long, shut the hell up and watch this run, and it's been great. And I'm believing. I do think they're going to make the playoffs. Like I said, legitimately, I think both of them will win. And I think they'll both win the division and make the playoffs. I think the Falcons have a better chance of winning a championship than the Braves do. And for that scenario, I'd have to go with the Falcons. If I believe they're a championship team, I have to think they have a better chance to win the division. I think the Braves are a playoff team. Right now, I do not think they're a championship team. A year from now, give me this conversation, I think they could be a championship team.
I like what you're saying there. And I just had a thought as you were talking, John. Mm-hmm. We talked about Touki Toussaint versus Julio Teheran. Who would you rather have in the rotation? And I told you that for now, because Julio hasn't been butt rotten, he's been teetering, but he's had six of his last nine starts have been three earned runs or less. Mm-hmm. Six of his last nine starts, three earned runs or less. That's not how you lose your job.
No,
that's keeping your job. So to me, you go with a six-man rotation, you keep Touki in there, and you got your eye on Julio. So let's say Julio has a couple of rough outings, and you move him to the bullpen, and he starts doing well down there. And you made the point earlier, and I agree. You said, I don't think Julio Teheran even starts a playoff game.
Not
so let's say we're in a five-game series. It's going to be Newcomb and Folty are definitely starting. Sanchez, if he gets back up on the horse and continues doing what he's doing, he is going to be starting. Gausman, Teheran, maybe Touki. You probably just go with a three-man rotation. If that's the case, doesn't it behoove us to get Julio Teheran in the bullpen even before the playoffs to get him comfortable in a one-inning scenario as opposed to you're a starter all year and then we... what? Pull the fast one on you, and now that we're in a playoff series against the Dodgers or the Cubs or whoever it may be, and now you're a relief pitcher.
Yes, yeah.
It might behoove them to get a jump start on that and move him to the pen before the playoffs begin.
I don't think he'd be a one-inning guy in the bullpen. I think he'd be the, oh, crap, my starter went 2 1/3, and I need a guy that can come eat up 4 or 5 innings in the playoffs.
Ooh, I'm gonna,
you know that's how that happens.
I'm going to disagree with you there because I could see him playing that role. To me, I see him triggering as a relief pitcher if that happens because it's kind of like, all right, it's a hit to your ego, a hit to your career. All right, now what you got, bro? And I would see him stepping up, and I think that his stuff in a shorter period, think about it, second time through the lineup, third time through the lineup, he starts getting just drilled. Mm-hmm. So just he doesn't have to go one full time through the lineup. Hopefully it's 3 up, 3 down. So I could see him as that one inning guy.
Let's give away some cash.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
audio.
Audio.
You thought you got me there, didn't you?
Yo, I kind of did. A little bit.
You kind of did. I have to shovel through the paperwork. Audio. A-U-D-I-O. We come up with
audio.
Every day.
Yeah. Lots of audio.
We play audio
you
for
can
you
listen
every
to
day.
Our audio at iTunes or 929thegame.com.
Look at this guy working in a shameless plug into the code word. International signing bonus contest this hour. We're trying to give you $1,000, people. So you have until 12:59 to text audio, A-U-D-I-O, to 72881. That's 72881. It's the code word international signing bonus contest. Audio. Text it to 72881. Message and data rates may apply. Don't text and drive.
You don't want to do that. A couple of good.
Hey, let's John. Sorry, super quick. Let's go to Mark Owens here. So, if Tehran is in the bullpen, I see him as a one inning guy. I see him as a high leverage winning side of the bullpen guy. Sixth inning, seventh inning, eighth inning, ninth inning. When you've got the lead, I don't see him as the losing side of the bullpen. You know what I'm saying? And John sees him as sort of that bridge from the starter to the bullpen guy, more of a long relief guy. Mo, if Julio goes to the pen, how do you see them using him?
No, I see him that middle reliever. I see him come in for 2-3 innings at best and then get him set up for the closer. Let your starter go 6-7 innings. Let him come in for 2 innings.
Yeah, I don't think that you have a set bullpen, right, or a pretty set bullpen with Brock and Minter and Winkler and Carl and all these guys that are coming out of the pen. It looks like you're going to get Vizcaino back. If they put Julio Teheran into the bullpen, it's going to be a – things didn't work out. A guy goes 4, and I need to get 3 innings out of somebody, and you let him warm up, and you let him go out there like it's a first time through the rotation.
Snit, please comply. Please move Julio to the bullpen and keep Tukey in the starting rotation so we can see how this plays out. That's a fun debate, though. We're debating something that hasn't even been announced yet. That's what we do here on the Midday Show with Rick and John.
Somebody said Mia Khalifa went to Georgia Tech. That is awesome. Mark, you have narrowed it down to 4.
Georgia Tech. Well, she went through Georgia Tech.
Maybe.
Whoa.
Now, this isn't fair, though.
Or did Georgia Tech go through? Never mind.
This isn't fair because no matter who I put on this poll, you're a dumb redneck. You don't know you're a Georgia fan. So I narrowed it down to not the most successful, but the most popular / household names to come out of Georgia Tech. Because the guys created Waffle House from Georgia Tech. The inventor of Google News came from Tech.
Wow, there's a lot of people went there.
Nobel Peace Prize winners come from Tech. So who is the biggest household name that came out of Georgia Tech? Roman Reigns, Jeff Foxworthy, Calvin Johnson, or Jimmy Carter?
Wow.
All
great
spent
list.
Time at
a hell
Tech.
Of a list. Hey, you know what else is great, Paul? 92.9 The Game at Ackerman Security. You're going to hook up one lucky winner with a Philadelphia flyaway with Hugh Douglas to kick off the football season from September 5th through the 7th. The Philly trip includes round-trip air travel for the winner and guests courtesy of Southwest Airlines. It's a two-night stay and a $1,000 Visa gift card. Go to the contest page at 92.9thegame.com to register. The Philly flyaway brought to you by Ackerman Security. NFL bounce coming up next. The Bears and Roquan Smith, they come together. They kissed, they make up. That's all next.
This week will be good for us to get back on the practice field, clean up on some of the mistakes that we made, and try and play more efficient and better football this coming week against Kansas City.
I mean, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? Matt Ryan speaking the obvious right there, and that's what he does. He's the CEO quarterback, but he's right. The Falcons need to be a whole lot more efficient in the Kansas City game. You know, just get in, get out, and have everybody in one piece. That is my goal. And, you know, you'd like a couple of the guys that struggled in week one to play better in week two. So we dive into the NFL bounce here from the Kia Studios. Rick Kamla and John Michaels. Now, Roquan Smith, no longer a holdout. He and the Bears have come to terms. They have worked out the language in the contract. Mm-hmm. Now, we have not gotten a report. I have tried. I have efforted. I've read articles. I've because I'm a scoreboard guy. Rick Hamlin, sports detective. I want to know who won. It's a standoff. It's a holdoff. Who won? Who caved? Right? Who was stubborn and got their way? We don't know that. All we know is that the Bears and Roquan Smith have struck a deal, and he will be playing week one. Now, their new coach, Nagy, when asked, you know, because Roquan's going to be the quarterback of the defense, he was asked if missing all this time would hurt him in terms of being that quarterback of the defense in week one. Mm-hmm. And their new head coach, Matt Nagy, said, yes, it might be a problem. So Roquan, smart guy, obviously a super talented player. He's got a ton of work to do to catch up.
Here's some details on the contract, and I've been doing some research myself. This is according to your boy Mike Florio, so take it all with a grain of salt.
I mean, he's
usually pretty plugged
he's
in.
Stuffy and pompous, but his stuff is pretty accurate.
Now, remember, there was a lot of talk during the holdout in regards to what he and his agents were fighting for in his contract. The majority of the reports suggested it had to do with voids in his contract for the guaranteed money. A lot of back and forth, yada, yada, yada. So here you go. Smith can be suspended one or two games for a violation of the rules that apply during a given play with no consequence to his future guarantees. He can be suspended one or two games multiple times with no consequence to his future guarantees. Smith loses the guarantees only if a suspension of three or more games is imposed to him. That means Smith's guarantees will only void if he's suspended three or more games for what's deemed a football field play on the field. Not necessarily suspended for three or more games, like or maybe it's along the lines of what Vontaze Burfict has dealt with for illegal hits. So it seems like there was some give and take on both sides. You'd like to think Roquan's not going to be suspended for multiple games. You'd like to think that he's not going to be suspended for three or more games. So in essence, he kind of won with what he wanted there.
The scoreboard reads Roquan Smith won and the Bears nothing. Mm-hmm. The Bears got to a point, John, and they were like, well, for the love of God, Let's get him in here. I mean, it's our, what was he, the eighth pick?
Hey, it's the eighth pick.
Eighth pick, and he's going to be the quarterback of our defense. And like we've been saying, I'm not buying it because of Mitch Trubisky. The Bears are trying to get back in the fast lane. You go get Allen Robinson, you get Taylor Gabriel, you draft Anthony Miller, you draft Roquan Smith. They're trying to go for it. They're trying to be good again. And you need Roquan Smith. If you want to be good again, you have to have Roquan Smith. So to me, the team got to this breaking point. He's already missed a preseason game, all of training camp. Screw it. Let's meet his terms. And so they met in the middle, but it's more on the Roquan Smith side of things. The scoreboard reads Roquan won, Bears nothing.
Here's something that for me, and this may be a hot take that you – I think Mitch Trubisky is going to have a tremendous year this year.
What?
I just think he's one of those second – because remember, think of
give me –
hold on.
A
hold
break.
On. Think, you said the same thing about Jared Goff going into year two. Didn't look like he could play, kind of doughy body, all of that stuff. All of a sudden, year two, got some weapons around him. Todd Gurley got back to form. Jared Goff goes for almost MVP numbers. I'm not saying he'll be Jared Goff, but I can see Mitch Trubisky taking a nice step with some guys around him. Being able to, he's able to throw the ball. He's got a nice arm. I think he's one of those sneaky guys to watch for this year, making a huge step in year two.
Okay, weirder things have happened, John. I'll give you that. Weirder things have happened. I am out on Allen Robinson. I'm out on Taylor Gabriel. I love Anthony Miller, but I'm not on him in fantasy because I just – first of all, he's third in the pecking order, and I don't trust Trubisky. You also have Trey Burton there. I'm not on him in fantasy.
But who was he throwing to a year ago? A bunch of garbage.
Yeah.
I mean, we played them at the beginning of the year, and they had hot trash at wide receiver.
No question about it. They did. But like I said, a lot of times I project and I forecast and I don't need to see it. Mm-hmm. Like with Deshaun Watson, I told you guys, he is going to kill it in the NFL and I would put my man parts on it. And he did. Okay, I didn't need to see that. People are still saying that they need to see it with Deshaun Watson. I mean, I literally just want to pound you upside the skull. You're a moron. What NFL are you watching? So, but with Mitch Trubisky, John, I need to see it. Mm-hmm. To your point, they have built around him. Okay, they have given him weapons.
Yes.
He's got two terrific running backs in Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen. The skill players are there.
Mm-hmm.
They just need Mitch Trubisky to connect the dots. I'm betting against it, though, this year.
We'll see how it plays out. I might think of some numbers there. We throw some juice
boxes.
Oh,
I would love to do a juice box.
I just got to think of what is realistic. I mean, I'm not going to say 4,000 yards and 30 touchdowns. That's unrealistic. But I got to think of what realistic numbers are in year two.
Just off the top of my dome, I'm thinking, how about 3,500 yards, 22 touchdowns.
Sounds about right.
In terms of like that, so we kind of go over under those numbers.
I like that. Let's go with that.
Done. 20?
Right. Yeah, let's write that down.
20 juice boxes.
3,500 yards, 22 touchdowns for Mitch Trubisky. I'll take the over, you take. Now, does he have to hit both on the over, or what if he goes 3,600 yards and 20 touchdowns? Is that just a push?
Yeah, if okay. he goes 36, yeah, then it's a push.
Right.
Unless you want to go 20 on each side.
No, we'll just do total, 35 God. And 22.
I thought you'd take the bait
3,500, 22.
By the way, and I got to write this one down, too. Randy Mack and I, Preacher Man, last week we had a juice box bet Friday at Twin Peaks and Buckhead on Jaren Jackson, of all people. I know okay. it's an NFL segment, but the Michigan State hotshot that went to the Memphis Grizzlies. Did he have Jaren Jackson at 18-9 or 18-8? Do you remember?
I want to say it was 18-9.
I think it was 18
wow,
and 9 as
that
well.
Is rich.
And so I took the under on that, and I love Jaren Jackson, but he thinks he's going 18-9 as a rook. And I was like, really? You want juice boxes? And Randy said yes. So that is two juice boxes, two juice box agreements in a three show span.
There you go.
I'm cooking, John.
You're boxing them up.
I love it.
By the way, 22 touchdowns is the number, Paul. By the way, there's video out Carson Wentz running onto the field today for practice for the Philadelphia Eagles. But apparently, according to the headline on CBS Sports, Wentz feels good about his rehab, but says it's going to be a close call now for the start of the season. Rick, who do you think starting week one against the Falcons?
I think Carson Wentz is starting, but I just talked with Mike Conte about this before his flash and before this segment. I look, I'm a keep it real guy. I keep it real with myself. I've said all offseason I would have taken the 35th pick from Cleveland for Nick Foles.
I would have
I said the day after the Super Bowl. The day after the Super Bowl, I'm trading Nick Foles if I'm the Philadelphia Eagles. Okay, so I'm on record with that. It's not a hot take. It's just, I think, what should have been done. They obviously kept Nick Foles for insurance because Wentz is coming back from this serious knee injury. I think Wentz will start, John. But my point is, if I'm wrong and Nick Foles starts against our birds, and God forbid he slices us up and beats us, I will be here the next day admitting I was wrong.
Okay.
And admitting that Howie Roseman was the brilliant GM that he is making that decision. To me, I would have taken that 35th overall pick for Nick Foles. And I would have run, and I would have taken an absolute stud to help my football team. I think Wentz will start week one. But when I hear that, I kind of cringe and grimace a little bit, because for him to say it's going to be close, that means he might not start, John.
Who's your favorite quarterback outside of Matt Ryan?
What do you mean?
Your guy. Like, this has been your dude since we've done the show.
Tyrod Taylor.
Okay. Well, apparently that's not his name.
And by the way, I want to come back to the Eagles with a couple other notes, because they're a mess right now. But let's talk, is it Tyrod?
I think it's Tyrod. Well, apparently during the first episode of Hard Knocks, Browns backup to the backup to the backup quarterback, a guy by the name of Brogan Roback.
Who?
Which that absolutely sounds like a wrestling name. Coming to the stage, Brogan Roback, or an MMA fighter, one
Brogan
of the
Brogan Roback?
Yeah.
Wow.
He calls Tyrod Taylor Tyrod. Tyrod Taylor. And Will Brinson tweets it out and says, hey, the blonde guy named Brogan just called Tyrod Taylor Tyrod. Well, it turns out everybody's been pronouncing Tyrod's name the wrong way. It is Tyrod. According to Joel Batonio, he told a guy, Adidas something with a check mark at the end of his name, that Tyrod is actually pronounced Tyrod, and that Tyrod has been too nice to correct people. So apparently his name is Tyrod and not Tyrod. Are you going to call him Tyrod or Tyrod?
I don't know. All I know is this. This is way too late in your career. I'm a journalist, and I'm a respectful guy, so I'll probably adjust. If he wants to be Tyrod, I'll call him Tyrod. But like, I already went through that. Let me tell you an old story.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be Rajon Rondo. Remember?
Isn't that what it is?
Well, a lot of people call him that, but he changed it midstream. I think he had just won the championship with Boston. He's like, nah, it's not Rajon, it's Rajon.
Okay.
I brought this to Kevin McHale's attention, Hall of Famer, on the set of NBA TV. Do you think that was well-received or not well-received?
Probably not well-received.
It was not well-received, John. He said, I think something to the effect of do something in the NBA before. But
wow.
he threw major shade on Rajon Rondo and said, I'm still calling him Rajon. You come up as Rajon, you're always going to be Rajon to me. So that's old school thinking from the great Kevin McHale. But I will adjust and go on the fly here. But let me get this straight. So Tyrod Taylor, who's been with Baltimore for many years, with Buffalo for a few years, leading them to the playoffs last year.
Virginia Tech.
And now he goes to the poopy Browns, and he's on Hard Knocks, and now he wants his name changed. Uh-huh. I just don't like the timing of it.
This is fake breaking news.
We got news regarding the show. It will no longer be called the Midday Show with Rick and John. It's the Midday Show with Rajan.
I like it. Quickly, the mess part. Alshon Jeffery might not be available for the Eagles week one against our Falcons.
They said he might be out
4 weeks. Yes, and Nelson Aguilar, their other top wide receivers, dealing with a lower body injury. So they're kind of a mess right now.
Oh, that's more a Philadelphia problem than an us problem. Preacher Man's coming up next with From the Bible. There'll be some great stories. There'll be research material. That's all next.
All right, just want to tell you quickly, coming up at the top of the hour, it is Knox Bardeen in our Barbershop Bickerfest, and we're going to be debating Bama versus Clemson, Tehran versus Tukey, Braves versus Falcons in terms of most likely to win the division, how nuts John is for his rankings, and all that jazz coming up to top of the hour.
But now we turn it over to the Preacher Man. It's time for From the Bible.
From the Bible is brought to you by Dunn Waterproofing and Restoration. Get
those
it done
guys.
With Dunn. Call 770-4FLOODS, Dunn Waterproofing. Well, apparently Shaq is not the only crime fighter in the O'Neal family. Apparently his ex-wife, Shawnee, spotted some dudes allegedly trying to break into her home and use the security system to scare them off. She spotted two guys skulking around the property and activated the two-way speaker on her Ring video surveillance system to yell at the intruders. She goes, "What are you doing? You're on camera. Smile, blank." She goes, "You can see the oh crap expression on their faces." And then she also said, "Listen, did y'all forget Shaq's apartment with the at Ring? And he made sure me and the kids had the cameras to go around the house."
That is awesome. Now, it's scary, though, because you could do something like that, and if the people are bat blank crazy, they're coming in guns blazing, and then you better have some backup yourself. Paul, the easier method is to have the old 12-gauge and just go, that sort of works the same way.
That's scary, man.
It is.
Real scary. When you think about, you know, home invasion and what could happen, a lot of times what does happen, it scares the living crud out of you.
And she's a woman, presumably home with just kids. Like, that is a scary scenario. Like, we're kind of laughing and joking about it because nothing happened, but she's almost better to hit some kind of alarm sound and just call the cops.
Charity started, and then she fell asleep, of course, and then I turned the channel. But we started watching some movie about a home invasion. Some actress and a couple of kids, they're in a house.
Gabrielle Union.
Was that Gabrielle Union?
Yeah, it's a Gabrielle Union. If it's the one I'm thinking that you're trying to describe, because it's the most recent
I think
one.
That was Gabrielle Union. Anyway, these guys are coming to the house trying to steal her dead father's fortune or something, and blood ensued. I didn't make it through much of the movie. I thought it was kind of corny, kind of predictable, okay. and all that. But anyway, that home invasion thing scares the daylights out of me.
Had my house broken into with me in there.
How'd you handle it?
Kid had a gun. Lucky to get out. That's all I could say. Wasn't a lot of fun. Makes the heart skip a few times.
Glad you're okay.
I'm here.
Glad you emerged unscathed.
Years ago.
All right, so apparently Bud Light will give Browns fans free beer the minute their team wins a game.
They are all cheering for Tyrod.
That's right. So basically what's going to happen is Bud Light is going to place specific refrigerators full of Bud Light that will automatically unlock as soon as the Browns win their first game and distribute free beer around Cleveland to fans that were sure ready for that delicious happiness.
Well, now we know where the burglars at Shawnee's house are going to show up to next. They're going to move to Cleveland and probably try to break into one of these refrigerators.
So they're just going to put random coolers with Bud Light in them, locked up all around Cleveland. And the minute the Browns, well, if the Browns win a game this year, then they will unlock these coolers.
Yeah, it says each orange and blue fridge holds upwards of 200 aluminum 16-ounce bottles. The company is being a bit coy about specific locations because Ohio law prevents pre-promotion of this type. So the folks at the beer company say, but all will be in the general Cleveland area.
Here's the thing, what's interesting. Like, when it opens, is it a free-for-all? Like, if one guy shows up with his own cooler, does he get the 200 beers at one time?
If he can.
Or are they just going to pop out one at a time, like, doink, doink, doink?
Well, I've seen the picture of the fridge. It's more like one of those that just has a door on the front of it, so it's not like one of those self-dispensing joints.
Yeah, if you ain't by that fridge, you're not getting a beer.
I'm just saying, I think you can take as many as you want from the sounds of that.
There's going to be a lot of winos. If a wino finds one of those, they're just laying next to that. I got dibs, bruh. I got dibs.
All right, the Denver Broncos selected Paxton Lynch in the first round in the 2016 NFL Draft. However, in the 2 years since, Lynch hasn't looked like an NFL quarterback in his limited action. Now, there's a fan by the name of Nick Andrews who is looking to recoup the Broncos for the $600,000 that Lynch is guaranteed by starting a GoFundMe page. However, he's only off to a modest start with just $80 raised as of Monday.
Okay.
Plus, the Broncos were valued at $2.5 billion by Forbes and not really short on cash.
But why would you want to hook up the front office and help them through a brutal mistake?
Because people are dumb. Plain and simple.
You got
people
that right.
People do this all the time. People start GoFundMe pages for rich people. Like when it was alleged that one of the Jenner girls, I think it was Kylie or Kendall, was close to $1 billion. Somebody started a GoFundMe page to get her to $1 billion.
Who was Mr. Irrelevant in the 2017 NFL Draft?
That would be Chad Kelly.
Chad Kelly. What did I tell you at the time that he was Mr. Irrelevant?
He had a chance to make that team.
That he was going to factor into the plans for the Broncos. Did you like Chad Kelly as much as I like Chad Kelly in college?
He's a ball player.
Made plays with his feet. Kind of gave me an Andrew Luck vibe in terms of the feet, mostly with the arm. But I'm a big fan. And I'm not saying he's going to, like, usurp Case Keenum, but he's now right behind Case Keenum. And if Case Keenum falters, Chad Kelly could be playing this year.
I thought Cisco made a song about Paxton Lynch. It was called The Bum Song. Paxton is a bum. Now you're third string.
Head in hands for Mark Owens behind the glass. He just took his headset
off. You don't
want
the bum song instead of the thong song, the bum song?
That was so disturbing to his ears that he took his headset off.
He's literally pushed himself away from the board.
And now he's stretching like a cat.
Do we have to put
like a cat that just woke up from a nap.
We're like 3 weeks away from the NFL. Do we need to do a Vision Computers Twitter poll tomorrow? Do we bring back those Monday joints that we used to do?
The songs?
Yeah, those things.
We don't need a poll for it, John.
Yes, we do.
We do not. Wait. Bro, the public loves them.
Eh.
Do you want obvious, tangible dap from the public?
No.
Like if it's 50-50, if you bring the song back, are you going to say, no, I'm taking my microphone and I'm going home?
Sales at one point had said they may be sponsored, and I've heard nothing else about that. So
at 1 o'clock, Noxie's coming in.
Uh-huh.
He kind of hinted at wet blanketing this idea.
What do you mean wet blanketing?
As in poo-pooing on it.
Poo-pooing what?
As in making it go away.
The songs?
Yep.
Has somebody in digital yell at him?
Has he risen above Rick Caffey and Terry Fox here at Sports Radio 92.9
The Game? We'll go with him in about 12 minutes.
Okay, we will do that. Preacher Man, continue.
All right, so apparently being in the NFL, you can make $1 million without having to really do anything because Orlando Scandrick, who was signed to a two-year deal with the Washington Redskins back in March, is being released by the team. However, he did get $1 million signing bonus, so he gets to collect that money without ever playing a down.
Must be nice.
Orlando Scandrick has come up quite a bit in From the Bible over the years. You know, situations with women and relationships starting, failing.
Some would say he's scandalous.
And didn't his career start to kind of dip the wrong way and head the wrong way once you started reading all those stories about this thought and that thought?
He's pretty much had the same thought the whole time that's been giving him issues. But, yeah, since it all came out in the news, he has been going in the wrong direction.
Yeah, I was
going
to say his thought process is to have as many as possible.
So do we believe that he's on? Nah, never mind.
Gonna leave it alone.
Never mind.
Preacher, man.
All right, well, Sean McVay has a very attractive significant other that
really?
He took with him. And he's had her since he was an assistant, so it's not like being a head coach got him there. Her name is Veronica Komen. It's spelled V-R-O-N-I-K-A.
Ooh.
K-H-O-M-Y-N.
Sean McVay is winning.
Yeah. Yeah. Not bad.
She's the 28-year-old Ukrainian model.
Of course she is.
I'm just saying.
NFL coaches get them all.
You got some early research material right here.
I try to help people.
She is a fine-looking young lady. Fine-looking. John.
Yeah.
I'm not a 10. I'm gonna go like 8.5, 9 right here.
Yeah, I'll give her an 8.
Really?
Yeah, she's not bad.
We're in the neighborhood together?
Yeah. You're actually downgrading your normal rating.
This is a first. I don't think John and I have ever been this close on the 10-point scale rating of a woman.
Who was it yesterday we were arguing about? Oh, Brooks Koepka's woman.
Yeah.
5.5 times.
I'd like 6.5, 7. A lot of people around here were more with you than more with me. Yeah. She's not even my type. I'm just trying to be nice, giving her a 7.
Preacher man, what else do we got?
Research material today will be Sporty Babes of Instagram. So there you go.
Sporty babes of Instagram. There you go. We come back. Knox Bardeen comes in. We will bicker this wet blanket scenario. It might be a blanket party in here before too long. Paxton is a bum.
Dukes. You talk that ish, but we finish it ish. One more game to win a championship. We got Julio on that beat, Matt Ryan on that beat, got Sununu on that beat, yeah, Vic Beasley's on that beat. Offense on a roll, cause we got us a quarterback, running back, wide receivers line, gave up no sacks. It ain't nothing but a bird thing, baby. This or don't, we protect our home, so don't step talking.
Each week, Rick and John bicker with the sexiest man in radio, Knox Bardeen.
The new name of the segment is 50 Shades of Knoxy.
You are such a stud.
Knox Uncensored.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
All right, Knox, we had all this stuff planned to talk about today, but what is this ish my guys just told me about you putting a wet blanket on John's victory songs? What is this ish that I am hearing? Have you bound and gagged our phenomenal bosses, Rick Caffey and Terry Fox? Are they in a closet somewhere? Do we need to send help? What? You're the one calling the shots here now? Is that what I'm to understand?
I am a shot caller around here. I don't know if I'm the shot caller around here. But first off, how are you going to put my bumper music up against old Falcon songs? I mean, that's not fair to me. This should be my segment, Marco.
What? You're dodging the question here. You're like a politician on a witness stand. Come on, Knox.
Are we in the cone of silence here? Are we amongst friends? Can I talk freely?
Of course.
Yeah, I mean, there's people actually listening in their car, but yeah, we are amongst friends. The people in their cars are our friends. I think there's meetings going on over there, so you're okay. Yes.
There's tens to hundreds of thousands of people listening right now, so fire away.
We have done John's Falcons victory songs for how many years?
That's
3 years?
No, 2 years.
2 years.
Mm-hmm.
When I took over the digital department back there and kept producing them, because they are digital gold, people will come to the website just searching for that. I can see what people type into Google searching for. You know, it's a lot Wendy Adams. It's a lot, you know, Falcons football. And it's John Michael's victory song. It's a Google search term. So I can see that people come to the website and do it. So the first piece of feedback I got when I took this job over a couple years ago was, you need to be careful of that, because our former company that owned us didn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
Copyright infringement or wet blanket, no fun rules, whatever. Well, we have a new company now that has not told me, don't do John's Falcons victory songs.
Okay. Well, if they've said nothing, we just play naive,
so
right?
We just sat back there with MO and Preacher Man and said, mm-hmm. Do we ask for permission or do we beg for forgiveness?
You always beg for forgiveness.
And it's this point of the conversation where I'd say we probably shouldn't be talking about this on the air.
I think we're
like
good.
We're playing our hand out here in front of God and everyone.
We had that meeting a year ago, like before the season started and all the corporate people came down. And I slowly raised my hand in the meeting. Should we do this? And they were like, you have to send an email and ask. I'm not sending an email every week. You know, I already have things trying to get accomplished on a Monday when the Falcons win.
Here's what I know from what the people want. John and I go down to the floor of Mercedes-Benz Stadium after every home game,
mm-hmm.
and we shoot a Facebook Live where he gives about a 3 to 4 minute breakdown of what he saw, and then he lets people ask him questions. It's fantastic. And literally we'll have, you know, a handful, 5, 6, 10 fans on the way out as we're walking from the tunnel to the floor say, hey, John, what's the song going to be? That are on the road with them to go to Falcons. Falcons employees will giggle with them. What's the song going to be?
It's called public demand.
Yeah.
Preacher Man's actually got some good texts coming at Rick and John 929. We'll make this a poll tomorrow, but some of the funny feedback you're getting already.
All right, so a few tweets that we had at Rick and John 929. Tone the Goat, OFL DJ. Please
not Tone the Bone, but Tone the Goat.
Tone the Goat.
Different tone.
Please bring back the songs. Please, all exclamation points.
Okay.
Then we have Porterhouse. Bruh, WTF is this? How can you even mention the thought of getting rid of the Monday songs?
Okay.
I'm with that one.
Devin says, Falcon victory Monday songs are a must. Do not let that die.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And Devin the Critic, your black blank better do those songs.
Even though it's white.
Yeah.
Which mostly. Makes it even better.
That makes it funny.
I concur with all that.
I'm going to have to go in negotiations with myself and figure out what we can do here. So we'll leave this.
What's the worst that could happen? A cease and desist?
No, here's the worst.
That's probably the worst. Yeah.
No, to me, the worst that can happen, it's not going to happen. The worst that could happen is the Falcons go 4-12, and we make a song like week 9 when they're 2-8, or that would be week 10. Week 10, and they're 2-8.
We don't do math around here.
We don't. Go ahead and save that, Mark.
By the way, I got Ronald Acuna math coming up on our next segment, one more round.
But
so
yeah,
we do math
that,
around here.
That would be the worst, because then it sounds really hokey and clownish.
Mm-hmm.
When they're winning and they're, you know, and okay, you go 10-6, 11-5, it's a lot of fun. The playoff songs are awesome. If they lost some games, like the last year of Mike Smith, that would have sounded really crappy doing songs and you're 6-10 and you lose by 38 to the Panthers.
But how many people around town can sing It Ain't Matt's Fault? I mean, I still don't have the words to that in my head, running around.
It happens from time to time. It's not his fault. It's never been his fault.
Oh,
it ain't Matt's fault. There you go.
That's it right there.
That was the starting point.
I'm happy, though. I'm happy that we got to the bottom of something.
Okay.
Knox Bardeen is not blocking
right.
the John Michaels victory song.
Uh-huh.
That was how it was portrayed to me in the previous segment.
I think
sarcastically. And I might have taken that sarcasm a little bit too truthfully that it was you, Knox Bardeen, that it was you.
Tend to, you know, smack me around whenever you can anyway, right?
It's our favorite thing to do.
Yes. We try to.
Every Tuesday at 1 o'clock.
Let's get into this. We got a lot of things we're talking about. And I've been writing articles, and I'll start here. Preseason top 10, and I just released number 2 today. It's up at 92.9thegame.com. Alabama is my preseason number 2. So everybody now knows who my preseason number 1 is, and it's not Georgia and it's not Miami. It is Clemson. I think the Clemson Tigers coming into this year are the most talented football team in college football. Knox, am I nuts? Is that a, you know, blasphemous accusation to put Clemson at number 1? How do you look at that when they're the national champions and I have them preseason number 2?
There's no way in hell Alabama could lose this game.
No. Really? You're going back there?
No, I'm not going back there.
Do we
at
have
all.
Another juice box
I'm not
agreement?
Going back there at all.
I've already got 2 in the last 3 days. I'm on a roll, Knox.
Yeah. I do not have a problem putting Clemson number 1 and Alabama number 2.
So do you actually believe that?
I won't argue with it. I don't believe anything right now. We're how many weeks still away from college football?
Okay.
We haven't seen anyone
about
step on the
days.
Field.
Okay.
18 days. Thank you.
Somewhere with a lot of conviction, though.
Might even be less. I think it's like 11 to the first like ham and egg game.
I look at Clemson, and I don't know how you score on that defense. Mm-hmm. I think it's probably the best front four I've seen in college football in many, many years.
Yeah, I was trying to think. We had this conversation. Who had the best front four in college football history? I really would have to think through that. I know Florida State had one in the mid-90s with Andre Wadsworth. I think it was Renard Wilson. They were loaded. Alabama's had a great one when they had Eric Curry and John Copeland back in 92. But this group, you're talking about 4 studs on the defensive line.
Absolutely. And I'm also looking on the other side of this argument at Alabama. You've got quarterback controversy. You have
no, you don't.
Players talking back or through the media talking back to Coach Saban, which has never happened, at least not stood for very long. There's a lot more reasons to look at that Alabama program this year and say they could dip. I don't look at Clemson and think they could dip.
That is the biggest non-story in sports right now. The biggest non-story in sports. I saw a little tease screen, graphic screen on ESPN, mm-hmm. and it said Feinbaum coming up. Tua to start? ? Take the question mark off. Is there anybody on God's green earth that thinks Jalen Hurts is starting for the Alabama Crimson Tide in week 1?
Jalen Hurts and they absolutely think he's starting.
Whoa, I'm confused here.
Jalen Hurts thinks he's starting, thinks that Jalen Hurts
thinks he should start.
Okay, well, his opinion doesn't matter in this, okay? Nick Saban's opinion matters in this. Let me rephrase it. Is there anybody outside of Jalen Hurts and his immediate circle of family and friends that thinks that he will start over 2 a week 1 for Alabama?
Probably not.
Knox? You're waiting too long.
Yeah, no, I don't think this should immediately be Tua's job.
You don't?
No.
You are out of your mind.
He showed us 9 seconds of quality football.
Well, he showed us
nine seconds.
He showed us an entire second
half. I'm exaggerating for emphasis here. He has, in the championship game, he came in and did wonderful things. Jalen Hurts, how many? He's 20.
I don't care.
Something and two.
That doesn't matter. That's past history. It's all water under the bridge.
You cannot decide who's going to be the quarterback of the number one or two team in the country based on nothing but current. What's going on? You have to look at the past.
No, you don't. Dude, the only past I need to see is the freaking Auburn game and the Clemson game and the first half of the Georgia game where Jalen Hurts, where Alabama won in spite of Jalen Hurts, okay? And if, John, do you agree with me that if Jalen Hurts plays the entire national championship game, the final score would have been UGA 30, Alabama nothing?
They may have scored. I don't know if it would have been nothing, but...
It's a blowout.
Georgia would have won the football
game. Blowout, right?
Because it was 20-7 at halftime, so it wouldn't have been 30-0.
I can argue.
No,
that,
but it was. I don't think Alabama had a point at halftime.
No, it was.
If memory serves,
was
I don't believe that.
13-0 at halftime.
I think it was 13-0 at half. You can go back and my memory, and it's fuzzy, it's foggy, a lot of parties, but tells me that they did not score a point in the first half with Jalen Hurts. Thus, the decision that Nick Saban should have made after the Auburn game. I actually can't believe you're hanging in there with Jalen Hurts like
with
that.
The fact that Tua had so much success because the Georgia defense hadn't planned for him. There was no pre-planning whatsoever for, well, I don't know if whatsoever. I wasn't in that locker room.
There really wasn't.
No, they said there wasn't very much.
Didn't we talk to ball players about it? Like Ledbetter?
I asked J.R. Reed specifically. I think it was J.R. Reed, and he goes, no, we didn't plan very much.
Swing and a miss by Kirby Smart, by the way.
For two seasons, teams have been planning against Jalen Hurts, and he still put up what he's done. For one half, a team didn't prepare for Tua, and he went off, and we're ready just to give him the keys of the kingdom. I don't buy it.
We got to give away $1,000, and then I'm going to ask Rick something to go back to our conversation yesterday. But let's give away
now
some money.
It's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Greet. G-R-E-E-T. Not Groot. I'm Groot. No, I'm Greet. Greet is the word you're going to text to 72881. Greet right now to 72881. A good thing back in the past when you were single would be a meet and
greet
with a bunch of different ladies. But John, text greet right now to 72881.
John Knox is about to greet the door with this silly Jalen Hurts opinion, okay?
I want to go back to something yesterday, Rick, just to spin this full circle. We were talking about Ohio State, and I said, Dwayne Haskins, new quarterback. I think he's going to be better than JT Barrett. 721 yards, 4 touchdowns. And you said, I get it. He had the half against Michigan. He won the game. I'm not ready to anoint him.
Yeah.
But you're ready to anoint Tua.
No, it's different. Haskins is not in a quarterback competition.
He's not.
It doesn't matter.
So to me, that it does. The Haskins debate is about, to me, it's more about, is he going to be the best fantasy quarterback in college football, or is it going to be Kyler Murray? Is it going to be Khalil Tate? Is it going to be Trace McSorley? But the job is his.
No. What I was asking yesterday was, are they a national title? I think they're more of a contender with Haskins than they were with JT Barrett.
And
I like him better.
All I said was Barrett gave us an illustrious career at Ohio State. All I said was I just need to see more. I played the John Michaels card. Mm-hmm. I just need to see more of Dwayne Haskins.
Why don't you need to see more of Tua?
Exactly. Why don't we need to see more of Tua?
Because you guys haven't been listening. Like I said, I watched Tua in garbage time last year. Okay. No, you didn't. Yeah, I did. I watched him in the Vandy game. I can go back through the game log and tell you the games that I saw. I saw Tua play, and I was impressed. And this is when Jalen Hurts was not even worried about his starting job. They were just working in Tua like Georgia's going to work in Justin Fields this year. But I loved what I saw. And like I said on this program, after Alabama lost to Auburn, they need to make a switch at quarterback. Do you guys remember me saying that?
Yeah, I remember.
Okay, and it came from me scouting Tua as the backup QB. So I have seen enough of Tua to tell me that he's way better than Jalen Hurts.
77 attempts. I pulled it up.
What's his touchdown INT ratio? Is it 10-1?
It was 11-2. It was
11-2.
It's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But I just find it hard to believe that you're ready to put the weight of the Alabama football program, that title machine, on the back of a sophomore quarterback that has 77
Who cares about
attempts?
Sophomore, junior, senior? That doesn't matter.
I do agree with Rick. Jalen Hurts, to me, it's more about, to me, what Jalen Hurts can't do as opposed to what Tua can do.
Bingo.
Because, I saw a second half in the championship game, and no, Rick, I did not watch as much when Alabama was up 40-0 against somebody because, quite frankly, I didn't care. It was a blowout.
Mm-hmm.
And I give you credit for watching.
I wanted to watch Tua, and I scouted the dude, and I spent time watching some really boring Alabama football to see it.
Here's what I saw out of Jalen Hurts, a guy that can't throw the football against better defenses. When he's against a mediocre defense and he's just throwing to an open guy, fine. When he had to make pressure throws against Georgia or Clemson, couldn't get it done. Could run it, can absolutely run it. But at this point, I think Nick Saban's realized, I've gone as far as I can go with this kid.
I would also like to point out that, yes, he was 14 for 24 in the national championship game, and we saw greatness there. But the rest of his attempts come against three teams, Vanderbilt, Tennessee, Mercer.
I didn't watch Mercer game. I watched the end of that Tennessee game and the Vandy game, and I liked what I saw. I saw a dude absolutely slinging the ball.
Oh, he can sling.
And like the ball comes off his hand effortlessly. I think he's going to be in the NFL one day. And I don't think Jalen Hurts is going to be in the NFL one day.
He will be.
Matter of fact, I know it.
He might be, but it damn sure won't be at quarterback. I can promise you that much. He may make – if I've watched Braxton Miller make it as a wide receiver, Jalen Hurts, if he swallows his pride –
there you go.
And goes and plays another position, he absolutely is athletic enough to go play in the NFL.
So should he have already done that, or did Nick pump fake him into staying with this lie that it's going to be actually a competition when, in fact – Nick knew all along who his guy was, and the only reason he kept Jalen Hurts around was because of insurance.
Bingo.
So, to me, Nick played Jalen Hurts really badly
here. And he
had to. No, he didn't.
Sure, he did.
Well, I mean, in terms of Alabama, he did.
Yes, that's
what I'm saying. They don't have a third guy. But Jalen Hurts, to John's point, if Jalen – I don't think Jalen Hurts is going to make the NFL as a tight end, a wide receiver, running back, a special team guy, or anybody. But – if he had left Alabama the second Tua won that national championship game, sat out a year, changed positions, then he might have had a chance. But now I think it's too late in the game.
It is, but it's Nick Saban's job to win a national championship, and the best way to do that is to have a great backup behind whoever he picks.
No, it's going to be Tua. There's no doubt in my mind it'll be Tua. I just want to see.
Juice boxes?
I'm not ready for juice boxes.
What about haircuts?
I need waiting a for both.
You hey, do need a haircut.
This hour of the program brought to you by Inspire Medical Systems. When we get back from the break, one more.
12 times a day on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
The worst that could happen is the Falcons go 4-12, and we make a song like Week 9 when they're 2-8, or that would be Week 10.
That's my harmonic.
It's getting late, but we're far from done. Let's order up one more round with Rick and John.
Well played. We've been giving Mark Owens all kinds of material today, and we want to thank Knox Party, and that was a great segment with him. Sparks were flying up in here. I'm going to give you I'm going to do some like fun with numbers stuff with Ronald Acuna. I know John wants to rekindle this debate on Braves versus Falcons, most likely to win the division.
We got two polls up that we got to revisit as well.
Dueling polls?
Dueling polls. Well, they're kind of separate polls, but they're on equal size. Trying to see...
Whatever that means.
I don't know.
But we have our guy. We just noticed that Brandon has been on hold for over an hour. Our guy Brandon in Lindale, who brought Randy McMichael, not one, but two 25-ounce cans of Busch beer to Twin Peaks and Buckhead on Friday. Brandon, sorry for making you wait this long, man, but let's bring you in here to one more round. What you got?
Well, gentlemen, I was sitting here with my headphones on there for a while. I actually forgot that I was on hold, so it's not that big of a deal.
Sorry.
I was taunting Paul Bible eating ice cream at my desk because life's rough some days. But Rick is missing one thing here that he's got to understand. Jalen Hurts, if he left right after the national championship game, is down to one year of eligibility because he will burn a year for transferring out of turn. Now, if he just waits and minds his business at Alabama and leaves in December, then he's got 2 years left. So then Kiffin can play daddy and bring him in down there, and he'll have 2 years to play somewhere because – if I'm a coach and he's only got 1 year of eligibility left, I don't know that I'm willing to roll the dice on him because it might be Brandon Harris 2.0, and nobody wants to do that. At least 2 years in your system, you might get one quality year out of him. The Falcons, I think the Falcons could probably drop a game to Philadelphia and the Steelers and win 5 of their first 7, come out with a good look, and then hopefully win 5 or 6 of their last 9. That last 9-game stretch that we're on is a murderer's row, I think. But for sure, I believe we can beat the Panthers twice this year, and I believe we can beat the Bucks twice this year, and I think we can take out Dallas and the Ravens. So I'm thinking we can get to 10 or 11 games. It would have been better if our bye week had shaped up a little better there for us. And anytime you guys need something, let me know. I just couldn't let Rick beat up on Randy telling him that they don't serve poor man's beer at a restaurant like that. So I had to stop at the Texaco and buy some $3.25 brew and bring to my guy so that he wasn't left twisting in the wind.
Hey, Brandon, real quick, what do you think of me having Alabama preseason number two? Are you now calling me a stupid Floridian again?
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, I don't know this team. I'm one of the few people that's going to sit back and say that I don't know this team. I don't know what these guys on this team are going to do. They're going to prove wash, rinse, and repeat if it's going to happen this year. And as far as John Michael singing songs this year, I'm all for it. I think you need to sing even more. And if you get a chance, slide a little bone ghetto cowboy in there and count your money for whoever you get a chance. Rise up.
Brandon, we appreciate it as always.
I appreciate the intel. I love getting smarter. I don't know it all, ladies and gentlemen. And Brandon, thank you for calling up. That if Jalen just plays it out, gets his degree, he can grad transfer. It really and have 2 years of eligibility? Is it grad transfer?
Oh, yeah, you can still grad transfer and have more than 1 year. It just depends on how quick you graduate.
Well, he apparently is graduating pretty quick.
Yeah, that would be, what, 2.5 years?
Something like
that.
Yeah,
if he gets done in January, that would be 2.5 years.
So, whatever. Yeah. So 2 years left. To his point, that's there's a good bit of intel to know.
Somebody I know that works around town here that has a saying that is really good to what Brandon just said about Alabama. And Brandon said, I got to get to know this team. There's nobody that knows a college football team better than their own fans. Like, Georgia fans, I study Georgia, I watch Georgia, but there are a lot of Georgia fans that know more of the ins and outs, the day-to-day, than some of us do. There are Tech fans that know more than we do. And we try to know a lot about everything. We can't be authorities on necessarily everything as well. So it's interesting. So from an Alabama perspective, Brandon's one of the biggest Bama fans I know, and he said, hey, I'm going to wait and see on this team, so I don't feel as bad putting him number two. Okay, I'll be honest. I never felt bad putting him at number two to begin with, but I feel less guilty of not having the defending champs preseason number one.
Well, here's the thing. Dogs fans should be saying, I don't know my defense yet. Mm-hmm. And Bama fans should be saying, I don't know my defense yet.
Yeah.
Both teams have three returning starters on the defensive side of the football. So you don't know who Georgia's going to be on defense yet. And you got a better idea of who Alabama's going to be because of the Nick Saban dynasty.
Sure.
But you don't exactly know the identity of that defense. Are they going to be a takeaway defense? Are they going to be a sack defense? Are they going to be a bend but don't break defense? We just don't know that yet. Before we do this debate, do you have a...
I want to bring up one thing with Alabama. You know the last time that they weren't number one during the regular season was all the way back in 2015?
That surprises me. I would have actually said farther back.
Yeah, they're, I guess going into the SEC champion, and this is according to the Phil Steele book, they were number one all of last year. Now, this is during the regular season. Mind you, they lost the regular season finale to Auburn, so they would have dropped out from there. But they were number one all year until that loss. They were number one all year the year previous. The last time they were number two at Auburn all the way back in 2015. That's crazy.
Crazy. They just have a stranglehold on college football. We know this. What you don't know are these stats on Ronald Acuna.
Okay.
All right. I need everybody to stop what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And because this is a lot of numbers,
right.
But if you
spit
just, if you
just
wait, if you wait for the payoff, you're going to like this.
Okay.
And let me start with the headline. If Ronald Acuna keeps this pace up as the leadoff hitter, he is going to be the greatest fantasy baseball player of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Not a hot take. Wait till you hear these numbers. All right, 22 starts in the leadoff spot. 22 starts in the leadoff spot. Let's multiply that by 7. It gets us to 154 games.
Sure.
That's a season.
Yeah.
With a few
days
off. 22 starts times 7, 154. So I'm multiplying all of his numbers as a leadoff hitter by 7. Hopefully that makes sense for everybody. I won't do the at-bats. Hits. 7 times 32 equals 224 hits.
That would probably lead the league.
Runs, 7 times 23 equals 161.
Yeah, that would be pretty awesome.
That might be an all-time record or very close to it. Home runs, 7 times 10 equals 70. 70.
That'd be great.
70. Mm-hmm. Not 40, 70. RBI, 7 times 20 equals 140. Okay, stolen bases, 7 times 6 equals 42. He's batting 360. You don't need any weird math for this. In the leadoff spot, he's hitting 360 with a 424 on-base percentage and an OPS, which is on-base percentage plus slugging percentage, of 1.211. We did this a week or so ago. Remember, John? These numbers are even mon. We did this a week or so ago. Remember, John? These numbers are even more ridiculous than we did because it was like we extrapolated it and it was like he had like a 50 home run, 40 stolen base season. 70 homer. So here's his stat line, John, over the course of a season if you extrapolate what he's done in the leadoff spot. Okay. Numbers over a season. 623 at-bats, 224 hits, 161 runs, 70 homers, 140 RBI, 42 stolen bases. John, if you go 70 dingers and 42 stolen bases, that is officially the greatest fantasy baseball season that has ever taken place. Babe Ruth didn't do that. Mickey Mantle didn't do that. Willie Mays didn't do that. Hank Aaron didn't do that. You know what I'm saying? That's ridiculous stuff.
I'm going to blow your mind with runs scored. Okay, first of all, the single season run scored record in baseball is 198.
Oh, my God.
Some guy named Billy Hamilton all the way back in 1894. But if you look at runs scored, the top 29 runs scored were all done before, I believe, 1931. The top, like, modern, and I say modern meaning past the 1940s or 50s, number 30 in the year 2000, you could have given me a million guesses. I would have never guessed. Jeff Bagwell had 152 runs scored in 2000.
Wow.
Like, you're talking about a cleanup or a number three hitter most of his career. Had 152 runs scored in 2000. Everything before that, and I'm trying to make sure I'm right, were all pre-1930 in runs scored. So runs scored isn't really a number. You get up into the hundreds, you're doing an unbelievable job. Because even as I'm scrolling down from there, I see George Brett in here. No, that's not George Brett. You're talking about Sammy Sosa might be the next one at 146 runs scored in 2001.
And again, Acuna on pace as a leadoff hitter for 161 runs over a season.
Bagwell
also
would
be a modern day record.
In 99, he scored 143 runs. Bagwell, you forget how great Jeff Bagwell was.
And Biggio, they had Caminiti back then.
Yep.
That was a heck of a lineup. All right, so let's debate this a little bit more here in one more round. Who's more likely to win the division this year, the Braves or the Falcons? John, you said...
I said the Falcons, but I do think both teams will win the division. It's kind of a cop-out.
I don't think it's a cop-out at all. I think both teams are going to win their division. I think the Falcons are more likely because John depicted an absolute murderer's row in the month of September for our Braves. They get two breathers in the entire month. They get a three-pack against Washington and a three-pack against the Mets. Every other series, it's like at San Fran, you know, two series against the Phillies. It's nothing but bad boys the whole month, basically.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough run for the Braves. Obviously, the Falcons have a tough schedule as well. So, interesting debate that we have going. We also have two polls up, Rick, that we got to revisit. Vision Computers Twitter poll. Vision Computers, where if you need help with tech support, less than 15 seconds away. Mark, take it away.
Okay, so not all season, but in the postseason, and today... Not all season, not in the postseason, but today of the Braves, of their starting pitchers, who do you trust the most? If you're looking at it on August the 14th, Julio Teheran, Tukey, Kevin Gausman, or Sean Newcomb. 61% say they trust Sean Newcomb the most right now, followed by Gausman, Tukey, and Julio Teheran at 6%.
Six.
And the other poll we have up at Rick and John 929, who is Georgia Tech's most popular? Not the most successful, but the most popular. So who's the biggest household name alumni that came from Tech? Roman Reigns, Jeff Foxworthy, Calvin Johnson, or Jimmy Carter? Right now, it's a neck and neck between Calvin Johnson and Jimmy Carter.
With, really?
Former football player at 38%, former president at 37%.
What are the other two?
Jeff Foxworthy, 21%. Roman Reigns, everybody's tired of him, 4%.
Wow, 4%!
That's...
And the poll that I have up on this better chance of winning their division, right now it's Braves 63%, Falcons 37%. So okay. John and I both say Falcons, by the way.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.